Blog Talk Radio.
This is the E.L. Moore Journal. I am the host and producer of the E.L. Moore Journal, Ernest Moore. Okay, show is live. Looks like I have some callers in the queue here. I will be getting to you eventually. Just hold on. I have two callers in the queue. Looks like we're going to have an interesting show today. Just to let everybody know, the chat is available. It looks like it's activated. So if you want, you can also go to the chat to send me messages. Today is Sunday, January 30th in the year 2022. It was a pretty cool day today. It was clear. It seemed to be calm where I'm at. I don't know about the rest of the city. Crime is just going crazy. All over the country, actually. There's a lot of crime in Los Angeles County. Things that happened in the news, as usual, COVID, all the time, COVID. In the morning, COVID. In the afternoon, COVID. At night, COVID. All I can say is keep your mask on. Get vaccinated once, get vaccinated twice, get a booster, and don't say nothing bad about Biden. Biden's in the news as usual. He's going to pick a Supreme Court justice soon. So we'll see how that goes. And I see I got another caller here. I have a caller with a raised hand. I'll get with you in just a minute. I am going to play some clips by Angelique Fawcett, and then I'll talk with you in the queue. Today's show I've entitled, Where is the Love? I'm going to talk about some situations with the attorney for Britney Spears. And how that is playing out with the organizers of the Free Britney movement and the victims or the other victims in the probate court in Stanley Moss Courthouse, who basically don't have a voice in the media. Now, I believe Matthew Rosengart, who is the attorney for Britney Spears, is doing a very good job so far. In fact, in the last hearing, he came to court with an FBI agent. And my assessment of that hearing is that he did a smackdown on that corrupt judge that Britney Spears has, Brittany Penny, in that he got everything that he asked for, basically. And that resulted in telling everybody to get their hands out of the cookie jar. Because everybody was there, and we're talking about 14 parties, we're talking about conservators, their lawyers, and the father of Britney Spears, all asking for more money, including the court-appointed attorney, who I call a rat, that she had, the so-called guardian ad litem that she had, Samuel Ingham, that she got off the case, is there asking for more money. And as we'll see in future hearings, Samuel Ingham took a lot of money he shouldn't have taken, and he allowed others just to loot Britney Spears' estate. And he's got the nerves to come to court asking for some more money. That just blows me away. And they fully expected the judge to grant that to them. Now, I fully suspect that she would have granted that. In fact, all the fees to all those attorneys, that's what the judges are doing in my case. But there's a ton of attorneys that are monitoring that case. The media is there. And Rosengart comes to court with an FBI agent. So, and this has all been in the news quite a bit, on network TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It takes all of that to put these judges in check in these cases. It seems like they just totally believe that they're above the law. So now we have a situation here where there was the demonstrators that did actually an excellent job. I feel that it was excellent organizational skills by the people that organized those demonstrations out in front of the courtroom during the Britney Spears hearing, especially at the end. One of these organizers, who is Angelique Fawcett, is what I would say a victim of the probate courts in that same courthouse. She's in a probate case with the former TV star of the original Star Trek TV series, Nichelle Nichols. And as you will see, or as you will hear in this show, there are some serious problems with that conservatorship of Nichelle Nichols. And I am asking now, why is it that the lawyer for Britney Spears has not looked into that case? I think I know why. I believe that now that he's probably getting calls from everybody in the conservatorship in that courthouse. And he'll probably get even more if he gets, if he's successful with the Britney Spears case. He'll have people calling him every day saying, please take my case. And you literally almost have to have a lawyer that can come in there with either police or the district attorney or FBI agent to get these judges to follow the law. That's how bad it is in that courthouse. Now, I have some audio clips here of Angelique Fawcett in an interview. This is a video interview that I saw on a website called Lee Bailey's Euroweb. And it's a video of Angelique Fawcett speaks about Nichelle Nichols on The Doctors. And I'm going to play that clip for you, and I'll check in with my callers while this is playing so that you could see firsthand about some of these the questionable situations in this conservatorship of Nichelle Nichols. And let me see, okay, this is it. Let's see if this will play here.
years later, I started noticing things at Michelle's house disappearing off the wall. She'd have little special dolls that she liked that just weren't there anymore. Additionally, on Michelle's 85th birthday, I got a call from one of her assistants telling me Michelle Nichols' entire closet was empty, including shoes, furs, handbags. And when you start seeing things missing, you know, there's a problem. So, late 2018, Michelle Nichols' son was granted conservatorship over his mother. Throughout the years, I heard different things about her relationship with her son. She did not like the way that he would treat her. After the son gained conservatorship, a abuse video came out with the son manhandling his mother and cursing her out.
You have just done again what you did, which has destroyed your life.
The press called me and asked me, how do you feel about this case? Well, I didn't like it. And from that statement, Michelle's son blocked me from seeing her ever again. In the end, I just want Michelle to get her rights and have the ability, you know, even if it seems impossible, to go back to her home, you know, to be able to enjoy the rest of her life, at least close to the manner in which she wanted to, without a relative cussing her out, treating her badly, not being kind to such a kind and beautiful woman who loves the world, who loves her fans. So in the end, I believe that Michelle knows I still have her back, and I will continue to fight for her human and civil rights.
Angelique, tell us about her conservatorship and tell us why you think it's problematic.
Back in 2013-ish, she went to the hospital and then she was transferred to a rest home. She hated the rest home and she was very upset about being there. So when she got out of the rest home, she stated that she wanted me to make a video for her so that she could state what she wanted in her life. And everything that she has stated to me and to others has been not done. And right now I'm just very concerned for her.
You know, Angelique, in the tape we saw earlier that she never wanted a conservator, right? So,
right.
And this was recorded. When this took place, what prompted you to record this?
She was very upset, very angry, very scared that her son would put her back in the rest home if she returned home, and she wanted to protect herself. So I saved it in my safe for 6 years and just waited, you know, for hopefully nothing to happen, but unfortunately it did.
Okay, I think that's the end of that clip. And as you can see, there are some serious problems with the Michelle Nichols case. Now, on top of that, in my discussions with Angelique Fawcett, I can tell there's some problems with her judge. I know that personally because I have that same judge in my case. Going on, I think it's about 2 years now. This is Anna Maria Luna. Unfortunately, we have the same judge. So I'm very inclined to believe her that there are some problems with this judge. And I am kind of disappointed. In the interviews that I've seen and read about Angelique Fawcett, they don't mention anything about the judge in her case. And I kind of wish that she would say more about what's going on with her court case. There's very obviously a problem with the conservatorship. And they have video of the son, or what seems to be the son of being verbally abusive to his mother. Plus other facts that Angelique Fawcett has brought to the court. Why is this conservatorship with her son still going on? And why did the judge allow it to be transferred to New Mexico? Now, this is a similar situation in the conservatorship of my mother in my probate case. They allowed, and I had two court-appointed guardian ad litems for my mother in my probate case. Now, my probate case has been going on longer than the Britney Spears case. My probate case opened in 2004. So I've gone through a lot. And to make a long story short, I don't want to go into all of my case right now, but to make a long story short, the court appointed a court-appointed so-called fiduciary, Jeffrey Siegel, back in like 2015. And I had filed to remove the former conservators, which happened to be my brother and sister, which were abusing my mother and just looting her estate. Both of them were off as conservators, but my sister just filed to transfer the conservatorship over to Georgia. And the court granted that. And by that time now, that's when Samuel Ingham was her conservator. I mean, her guardian ad litem. And they were, these are court-appointed guardian ad litems. And they're appointed to what a resource that the courts, what they call PVP attorneys, probate volunteer panel attorneys. And the last thing that they are is volunteer. When they see you have a big estate, they're going to put in big bills that the judge usually approves. So Samuel Ingham allows them to transfer the conservatorship to Georgia, and he lied concealed evidence to the Georgia probate court that the conservator that applied for guardianship over in Georgia had been removed as a trustee for criminal malfeasance here in Los Angeles. The accountings were totally fraudulent. They were in a conservatorship, especially conservatorship of the person like my mother, who had a multi-million dollar estate, is supposed to do accountings, which they did, and they were totally fraudulent. And that's what they got them removed as trustees, co-trustees. And Samuel Ingham did not report that to the Georgia probate court, and they allowed the transfer of the conservatorship to a guardianship over in Georgia. My mother did not want to be in Georgia. She was calling several family members saying, come and get me out of here. She's not like Georgia. All of her assets were here in California and her house and everything. And she ended up having to die in Georgia under abusive guardianship with her own daughter just looting her estate. So I kind of know what Michelle Nichols is going through, as well as others. Now, through all of these years, I met a lot of victims to that probate court in downtown Los Angeles, Stanley Moss Courthouse. And I think this is going to be a lightning rod for reforms for the probate courts, because it's almost by fate that this has happened, because all of the probate cases in Los Angeles County are coming through Stanley Moss Courthouse. And that's why you have all of these high profile celebrity cases coming through there. And now the media is beginning to pick up on it and reporting about it, especially with Britney Spears and the the legislature, California's legislature, has actually proposed some reforms, and there's probably more to come, especially when they go on and continue on with the investigation in the Britney Spears case and how it was just absolutely looted by a court-appointed attorney and all of the others that were appointed on her case, including her father. So the question is now, Nichelle Nichols is somewhat of a high-profile case. She's not getting as much exposure in the news as Britney Spears is getting. But I would assume that Matthew Rosengart has heard of that case, especially in consideration that one of the organizers for the Free Britney movement is involved in that case, is a litigant in that case. And I know from my experience now, I've tried to contact Matthew Rosengart. And well, I have contacted Matthew Rosengart because I filed a declaration revealing all the corruption in my case. And actually, which included evidence against Samuel Ingham, a lot of criminal evidence against him that he could use in the Britney Spears case. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And a lot of other things. And I haven't heard anything from him. Now, I've called his law firm, and I've sent requests there, and at least for a consultation with Matthew Rosengart. I've heard nothing from him yet. I am setting up a victims group, the probate courts in Stanley Moss Courthouse. And we have a group for victims of Judge Anna Maria Luna. And I want to represent these victims. And I would like to get a law firm to actually be legal representation for them. But I would like to raise money for legal services and other reforms for the probate court for the victims of the Stanley Moss Courthouse. Is what I would like to do. And we need to develop a pool of attorneys that we can refer people to. And that's why I'm thinking about doing a series on my show that would allow probate attorneys to come on to speak out about the probate court and to speak on the law, and where people can actually ask questions to these probate attorneys, and hopefully we'll develop or we'll compile a list of reputable attorneys that we can refer people out to, attorneys and law firms, is what I'm hoping to do to accomplish from these interviews. So if you know any good attorneys, please tell them to contact me. I want them on my show. I want to talk to them. I want to interview them and allow them to speak out. I think I will go to the callers here. I see another caller has her hand up. I have one caller here from Florida. I think I'll put her on. Hello, caller 9714. Do you hear me? Caller 9714. Hello. Oh, it's not there. Let me try this caller here, 6892.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, my name is Aldona Kumpin, and my mom died of guardianship a year ago.
And what state?
In Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, Chicago. Okay,
yes.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, that is sad. And we didn't get, it's five children. My mom didn't have property, but my mom was mixed up with another patient in hospital. She got out after 4 days from hospital, then it went that mom ended up in two more hospitals, then they put guardian on mom, and they moved her to nursing home. And so mom was 5.5, almost 6 months under guardianship, and she died. They broke mom's hip. They neglect my mom so badly in every hospital. And having lawyer, we couldn't get mom out, which right now, hearing all the stories, I feel like that was impossible to get my mom out. Like my mom had to die. There was no way that she would come out alive from guardianship. And we didn't get fair, you know, court case, basically.
Was she in a convalescent hospital?
She was in the Swedish Covenant Hospital, but they put the guardian and mom in the Resurrection Hospital on Talcott in Chicago.
Did you have a lawyer on your case?
You know what? We have lawyer, but lately he looked like he wants to withdraw. He doesn't want to continue. I think he's working with the judge. So I feel like we have to look for a different lawyer, maybe from different state.
Different state?
Yeah, like not from Chicago.
Well, have you been through many lawyers?
No. We had him. He basically wanted to take our case when my mom was under guardianship. He's abuse lawyer. But then he couldn't do anything because we tried to remove the guardianship and we couldn't do it. And then when he checked our case, the lawyer that we had, guardian lawyer, removed guardian. She didn't do a thing in our case. Then the abuse lawyer hold on to our case for 1 year and now look like he wants to kind of take off.
Did your mother have an estate?
No, she didn't.
Were there other family members?
It's five siblings. So like I said, my mom was mixed up with another patient. And then she ended up in two more hospitals. Then they put guardian on mom. And they moved mom to nursing. My mom was begging us, take me home and come over, get me. And so what? We have police report. I wrote to Pope. I called Trump. Then nobody was listening. We, human rights, we were contacting anybody. And nobody helped us.
So do they have adult protective services there?
What do you mean? Can I? Can you ask me again? Because I don't know how to.
Adult Protective Services.
They put on my mom Adult Protective Service. Yes.
And they didn't do anything about the guardianship.
They didn't. When we were in court, they said we don't have Adult Protective Service report, so they didn't release mom. And every court case was moved 2 months later. Then another court case, we don't have report, and they were playing with us. And the day that my mom died, the guardian lawyer said, "Have report arrived." We never received any report, basically. It looked like they were playing games with us. Then when my mom died, me and my brother, we paid for my mom we're from Poland, so we want to transfer mom's body to Poland. So we paid 3 more months storage my mom in funeral. In meantime, judge went and she cremated my mom without even us knowing.
Wow.
And we did also autopsy on mom. She's over-medicated and they put natural of dying, natural cause.
That sounds terrible. What's the judge's name?
Shana Bolliker, Cook County judge.
Cook County. Wow.
Yes.
That is, I'm really sorry to hear that. Sorry for your mother. It sounds terrible.
Very, you know, they didn't even ask us, like we never did anything wrong. We went to court and nobody asked us why your mom got guardianship. She've got 5 kids. Why she've got guardianship? Because we didn't argue about any property. There was no money on the table. Only everything what was done by hospital, they dump under our name. Because attorney at Lytham, everything what hospital did, she put everything under our name. And lawyer that we hired to remove guardian, she didn't even fight for us or fight it for my mom.
That's terrible. Are you still in court now?
And,
still fighting?
We're not. They closed the case, but we, like I said, lately I find out that attorney that we have, I don't think he will continue having our case, so we have to look for different attorney.
That sounds like a good idea. Would you like to give your name?
Yes, Aldona Kumpin. Do you want me
Donna
to spell it?
Kumpin.
Aldona,
yes.
A-L-D-O-N-A, the first name, this is first name, and the last name, it's K-U-M-P-I-N-N.
Okay. I have to go on to other callers. I don't have much time left, but thanks for calling in, and we'll keep networking on the show, and hopefully maybe eventually you'll get justice in your case in the future. But this sounds
I
like
hope
something
so.
That this is something that's it's a national problem, that these judges have to get these judges under control. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for speaking with me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Caller 7251. You hear me? Hello, caller. Well, I don't think they want to come on the show. Let me go to caller 1197. Caller 1197, do you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Andre.
You're on the Justice Channel.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Angelique Lasset. How are you?
Oh, how are you doing? Okay.
Finished dinner. I was listening to your show, and I just thought I would call in, and it's very sad to hear what just happened to the lady and her mom. So if she's still listening, my condolences to her.
Yes, very disturbing.
Yeah.
There was another lady that called in earlier that said she was from Florida, but she didn't answer when I put her on the air. I don't know. Maybe I'll try her later on. But this is a national problem.
Well, it is, and you know, your and my conversations that you know we've had in regards to this, and you know, it's not just Judge Anna Maria Luna, if I can call her a judge, which, you know, I don't feel that she's a real judge. You know, these judges are in a position where they are supposed to be working for us, not the other way around. And our loved ones, our family members, our friends should not be killed because of a decision that a judge made. It's not right. So, you know, Anna Maria Luna is very bad. I'm very open about that. I've seen her deny, you know, Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura on original Star Trek, deny her an evidentiary hearing twice. And the second evidentiary hearing, she pretended like she was giving me the evidentiary hearing, but she never had any real intention of having the evidentiary hearing in the first place. She just threw it out. And, you know, it's really shameful because they're purposefully hiding things. You know, no one is stupid. None of us are stupid from California to Florida. And so, I mean, I hear these stories, you know, being on the board of Kasem Cares, I hear stories every other day, sometimes every day. And it's just very saddening that people have to lose their loved ones in this way. It's just wrong. But you and I have talked about this so much.
I am very glad you called in. Now I can get to interview you a little bit. Tell us about Kasem Cares.
Well, Kasem Cares is an anti-elder abuse foundation that was founded by Carrie Kasem. And Carrie Kasem is a friend of mine. She's the daughter of Casey Kasem, if people remember Casey Kasem from America's Top 40. And unfortunately, you know, she was very, very close to her father, fortunately, you know. But unfortunately, her father suffered severe elder abuse by his wife. And through all of it, she lost her father. And he passed away. And she, even to this date, she doesn't know where her father is buried.
Whoa.
So basically, he died, and the mother, the stepmother, buried him outside of the United States of America, and she still doesn't know where her father is buried, even to go and visit, you know, his soul, you know, his burial place, you know, her or her brother and sister. And so, you know, it's devastating for her, obviously, and I know she's had to do a lot of healing, but she turned her hurt into helping people through Kasem Cares. So they have a helpline you can call and get help in regards to your cases. So I'm on the board of the Kasem Cares, and it wasn't that way originally. They, you know, when I went through this terrible situation with Nichelle Nichols, and she was stuck in a conservatorship, and the family didn't want to listen to her, to Nichelle's wants and desires for the end of life. And then the court wouldn't listen. I went down to Stanley Moss Courthouse to the probate department. They didn't even want to take my filing, you know, and said to me, well, what if the son doesn't want anyone to see this video that Nichelle made? Well, I'm sorry. It's not about the son. It's about Nichelle. And that's what all of these people are purposefully missing, is that if an elderly person or a person, you know, who's younger and say they have a stroke at a young age or something, if they state that they want something at end of life, they absolutely should get that. That is a part of their human and civil rights. And that is what all of these judges are ignoring. And I'm not saying that every single judge is bad, because I know I've worked in the law enforcement field with, not as a police officer, but I made arrests privately for a particular company. And I've seen some amazing judges. But in the probate court, I have not seen amazing judges. I just see judges who take advantage of the situation. And, you know, unfortunately, like I say, and you know, and we all know who's probably listening to this, people die. People die. Just imagine you're going to the hospital, right? And, you know, you're looking forward to getting out of the hospital eventually. You don't want to stay there the whole time. It might be a nice hospital. But you don't want to stay there the whole time. You want to go home. But in conservatorship, you never get to go home. They send you to a rest home. Same thing they tried to do to Nichelle Nichols. She would have been in a rest home forever. And millions of Americans across, you know, across our nation are stuck in rest homes forever. It doesn't matter if they had a big house, small house, little house, apartment, no matter where they were. They all of a sudden are in some unknown place with unknown people telling them what to do in a situation that they didn't choose to be in. And so we have to stand up and we have to care about the rights of people whom we love. And I hear from, especially I just heard the last lady, we all care about our loved ones, but the only way I believe personally that we are going to be able to fight is to fight together and take a stand and not allow these people, whether it's a conservator or a bad attorney or a judge, to continue to harm people who we care about or and or harm others who we don't even know. So that's what Case and Cares is, plus a little bit more.
Now, when you call into Case and Cares, you say that you can ask them for help. What do they have available to help people?
Well, people call into Case and Cares, and there's usually someone who takes down, you know, all the information from the person calling in, and then they try to help them with their case if they're able to. If it's a case that they're able to handle, then I'm not part of a helpline. I just advocate for people. Obviously, I'm advocating for Nichelle Nichols, but I advocate for people as I have my own time. I'm a filmmaker as well. But basically through the helpline, they take down all the information and however they can help, they help. You know, usually someone will be contacting you back and, you know, trying to just guide you through the process. Because like most of the people on the board of Case and Cares have gone through it personally. You know, there's the Trudy and Travis Campbell, who are Glenn Campbell's son and daughter-in-law. Then there's Kelly Rooney, who's Mickey Rooney's daughter. You know, there's a lot of people on the helpline who've actually gone through this or at very minimum have a great deal of passion for helping people and not allowing people to go through this alone. We're not here on this planet to just help ourselves. We are here to help others. At least that's what my belief is.
Do they make referrals or do they facilitate making reports to Adult Protective Services?
Well, it all depends upon the case. If someone's already made a report to the Adult Protective Service, then Case and Cares will just give more guidance. And it just really depends upon the case. You know, it depends upon what stage the case is at. You know, Adult Protective Services, you know, in my experience, Adult Protective Services is fine, but you don't get the true help you need from Adult Protective Services unless you've made about 50 phone calls, and I'm not exaggerating, and or you have contacted someone like, you know, Maxine Waters' office or a supervisor, a city supervisor's office, and you've contacted them about, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. To the point where they're like, wait a second. I mean, you really, really, it's very frustrating. It's super frustrating and it's hurtful that you have to keep on doing that because while you're doing that, while you're making those phone calls for APS to come out, you know, you're hurting, you know, and your loved one, you don't know how much more time they have, especially if they're elderly. You don't know if they're being beaten up. You don't know if they're being spit on. You don't know if they're being fed right. You don't know if they're being sexually penetrated. I mean, male or female, you don't know what's going on. So that's the super hurtful part is that you're seeking help when you're falling apart because you can't do anything about saving your loved one, right? So with APS, I think APS is okay, but all they do is go out and they say, oh, let me do this welfare check. And, you know, it's not enough. It's not enough. If you go out and do a welfare check, okay, so I did a welfare check. I wrote some things down. I came back. Oh, you know, your loved one is fine for now. I'll go see them next week, make sure they're okay. But you know they're not okay. If that's not what they asked for, if they don't want to be out of their home and they're crying for you and they're being isolated from you, their daughter, son, friend, whomever, you know, they're not okay. So, you know, I think the people in APS are nice. I've talked to some of their supervisors, but what is the actual result? And I don't think the result is good enough, just to be quite honest and open.
That was actually a leading question, and I understand 100% what you're talking about through my own experience.
Yes.
Because I made reports, several reports to Adult Protective Services when my mother was alive and here in Los Angeles about elder abuse, and actually keeping adult isolated and inflicting what they call undue influence is against the law, against elder abuse laws.
Yes.
But if you can get this picture, I was reporting the elder abuse of my mother to Adult Protective Services while I was working for L.A. County. Now, Adult Protective Services is in L.A. County agency.
Mm.
I was working for Child Protective Services at the time, and they would not do anything to investigate the abuse of my mother.
Yep.
That's Adult Protective Services.
Yep, that's exactly how I feel about them. And you know, the only way that you can get Adult Protective Services to do their job correctly, you literally have to call a supervisor or your congressperson. It's the only thing will get them to wake up, and the supervisor is calling you. But again, even with the supervisor, there's still no true result.
Yes, you would. In fact, I wouldn't recommend anybody go to Adult Protective Services. You might as well go to the police or maybe the district attorney or something.
Right.
Because by the time Adult Protective Services does anything, your loved one will probably be dead.
That's exactly right. You are absolutely right. And the sad thing is that a lot of these people who are overseeing our loved ones, blood or not blood, they put on a show for Adult Protective Services. You know, my husband and I last night were watching this show. It was called The Heart, you know, where, you know, these two ladies were married, and they were, not that it's a racial thing, it's really a human thing, but the two ladies were Caucasian, and they adopted six black children, and they really adopted them for show and social media attention. And basically they were abusing them, locking them up in their rooms. They were denying them food. And a couple of the kids got away. They was up in Oregon. They got away, went to the next door neighbor, said, please, please don't make me go back. I'm being abused. And, you know, one lady was getting ready to call the police, but the mother came over and said, oh, no, she's fine. Had the daughter write a letter and apologize for doing all that. Then one of the sons came over, who was the leader of the pack, and he came and he was like, oh, can I have some food, you know, because for my brothers and sisters, can you put it by the gate? And then they found out through him that the other sister was telling the truth. So they said, we're calling the police. They called the police on this family. And, you know, the two married ladies and the six children, they got in their car and they drove to Montecito. And I'm sure you've heard of it. They drove off the edge of the freaking bluff and killed them all.
Yeah, I think
and
I heard something about
it. And it was that little black kid, real sweet kid. His name was Devontae, and they had him out in Black Lives Matter, you know, saying free hugs to the police and everything, and you could tell he was scared. You could look in his face and he was scared, right? And then, you know, it was like she was doing that for show. And, you know, I'm sure in his heart he was trying to feel like the police wouldn't hurt him or anything. And I think he kind of did. He seemed like a more evolved kid. But, you know, they really put those kids through hell. And it was made like they were these wonderful, wonderful parents. It is an absolute, absolute that so many people who are so-called protecting our loved ones and those in conservatorships, elderly and the children and those who are incapacitated adults, they always, almost always, not every single time, but almost always have a caregiver who's putting on a show. Oh, yes, everything's wonderful. You know, they, you know, the person comes in, the APS comes in, and they've sprayed, you know, cinnamon bonbon, you know, Febreze everywhere and making everything look all nice. And it's not. And their loved one is basically told, you know, that they better act a certain way or they're going to get beaten up after APS leaves. That's real. You know, I watched as Nichelle Nichols, I called APS so many times, I lost count. Honestly, I don't know how many times I called APS, FBI, LAPD, LAPD Internal Affairs, FBI again, Congress people, supervisors. I don't remember how many times I called. But it was always like, oh, it's going to be fine. I think everything will be fine. In the meantime, there's nothing but abuse videos coming out from the Sun. Nothing but that. You know, and she was never allowed to go to court. You know, come find out she's getting a steady stream of junk food. You know, the son wants to get paid for taking care of his own mother. I mean, things that are just so terrible. Like, you know, most of us take care of our own parents without getting paid. I took care of my parents for 14 years total. And my father wasn't even a nice guy, right? Took care of them 14 years total, never asked for a dime because why would I? It didn't even come to mind. But whenever there's money involved and people don't have the right intentions, unfortunately, this is what happens, and I'm grateful so much for the Free Britney movement and the people that I worked with. As I told you, I was not the only organizers. I was one of five, and they were amazing, amazing people, and we all cared about human and civil rights, and they care so much about people. They didn't stop at Britney. You know, they help here and there. They allowed me to bring people to the stage who were from around the country who you wouldn't know their name. And they stand up for them too. They stand up for Nichelle Nichols. They stand up for, you know, whoever's there who they can care for. They're like this different type of person that's come into the world who, you know, they're IT savvy and they're, you know, CEOs, some of them, and, you know, marketing managers, but they actually care about human and civil rights and they really change things. You know, I'm sad still that Britney had to go through everything that she went through. But her going through all of that, you know, it's helped bring light to this really quiet, hidden, ugly, disgusting problem that whomever's listening has to listen to. And whoever your listeners are, I'm sorry that you're going through it and you're not alone. Because now we found each other. I said this mid-year last year. We found each other now. And we will continue to find each other. And we will continue to fight for what's right. And we will do justice.
Yes, justice. That was one of the things I was impressed with the demonstrations there at the courthouse from the Free Britney people. Is that they allowed other people to come up, present their case. Most of them were, well, I guess, kind of high-profile celebrities like Peter Max. But they did allow, and they did say that there was other people that are victims and that the media is just focusing in on Britney Spears and not the other people. I have video of that. I'm working on a video that I'm going to publish on my website. But I'd like to get back to your case. You said a lot of things, a lot of good stuff. You mentioned now that you went to Adult Protective Service, you called the police, blah, 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 and which is what I did, same thing I had done. The thing, though, that they say and particularly with Adult Protective Services, the reason they don't investigate actively, do they say, well, do you have a court case? Did they ask you that?
Yeah.
Do you have a court case? Because they know or they assume that the court is investigating. And so they are wondering, well, now how come the court doesn't, are you reporting this to the court? How come they're not doing anything? So it makes you look like you're exaggerating or you don't know what's going on.
Let me tell you, Stephanie Moss, Gordon Hall. Go ahead, I'm so sorry.
That's the other reason why they got to come down on these judges, and the judges have the most responsibility in these cases because they're supposed to be the court. They keep calling it the court, but it's the judge that is supposed to be administering justice. It's supposed to be protecting the vulnerable, the elderly,
yes,
which they are not doing.
And no, they are not.
So that's why you get that lack of, that's part of the reason why you get the lack of response from law enforcement agencies.
And they say, oh, do you have a court case? Yes. And, you know, in Michelle's case, there was a conservator. Her name was Dr. B.J. Hawkins, Ph.D., and she was a fiduciary conservator. She actually became a fiduciary conservator because the same thing happened to her mother. Her mother's home got stolen and all this stuff happened to her before she was into taking care of people, who were the elderly as a fiduciary. And she felt like she didn't want anyone else to go through this. And when I first met her, I thought, well, she seemed nice enough, you know, and everything, but I was always apprehensive because in these cases you stop trusting everybody, and I'm sure your listeners understand this. We all stop trusting anybody because who do you trust? You go to the court, you go to the police, you go to the FBI, and no one helps you. You feel like you can't trust each other, and that's why it's like time for us all to come together so we have someone to trust so we can move forward on it. But Dr. B.J. Hawkins, she was hired by the son, selected by the son, hired by the son, appointed by the court. It was so bad with how the son was treating Michelle. I pulled a deposition, would speak ill to his mother. And additionally, he started to talk down to the conservator. And it wasn't just talk down. It was like threats. He said he was going to get her, fix her, hurt her, and the F word her if she didn't give him Michelle's money. And she's tried to explain to him, I can't just give you the money. There's a legal process. You can't just nilly-willy have your mother's money like that. So he said some pretty terrible things, and she eventually had to quit because it was a danger. It's a work danger for her and her assistant. And she came out against him, and she made a report, an actual probate report to the probate investigator in the case. Do you know they did nothing?
I completely agree with it. I've reported stuff to that probate investigator. In fact, I went in there and talked to him personally. I got in his face, and he did nothing. Basically, he said, "Well, he's under the orders of the judge, and he doesn't investigate anything unless the judge tells him to." So, again, this is all coming back down on the these judges.
And that's very telling, and it's very telling because, you know, that's the first time I've heard that. And I've spoken to people in the DA's office, and they've asked me, well, was this reported to the court investigator? And the answer is yes. And, you know, these are things that are completely illegal. And it's like you can't just abuse people and be like, okay, that's okay. You know, I know you abused that person, but they can go with you to another state. They can stay with you. Everything is fine. Oh, I know that you just cussed her out and you manhandled her and she's screaming for the top of her lungs and you're taking her house, which is all what happened to Michelle Nichols. And, you have to be able to prove before you sell a conservative's home that it's absolutely necessary that you have to sell their home so that you can support them. I was told by the conservator in the case that they absolutely could have saved Nichelle's house. Her son didn't want to. It's all part of deposition. And my last hearing with Judge Anna Maria Luna, who is not a real judge in my opinion, she ignored all of that evidence. She's done it twice now. And my thing is that I do not, you know, this is unacceptable to me. I'm a citizen, yes. But, you know, she's a judge, yes, supposedly, right? But again,
she's a criminal in a black robe.
Yes, yes. Her job is to make the right, just decisions for the citizens, not to deny evidentiary hearings, not to look at the proof, and not to not look at the evidence. Someone's being abused. You're just going to keep on letting them do that? No. It's time to stand up. It's just time to stand up. It's not fair. It's not fair that these people have to go through this.
Now, that's the similar, that's her MO in my case also, when she's denying evidentiary hearings, specifically on the last one. Now, I'm at a critical point because the so-called court-appointed fiduciary that I've been trying to get off my case for years had filed a fraudulent accounting. And
of course they do.
I had a law firm review it with their accountants, and we reported to the court, but this is totally fraudulent. And Judge Luna approved it anyway.
Of course, she did the same thing in the Nichelle Nichols case. I try to say it doesn't matter if you are a celebrity or non-celebrity, it is the same method of operation. I do say that there's a little bit more of a formulaic situation with the celebrities because it's pretty disgusting and it's very, very obvious. But really what it is, they do this. It doesn't matter if you're known or unknown. Exact same thing. Exact same thing. Approve the accounting without looking at it. And a lot of people may not realize an accounting is just an accounting. You don't know anything until you open up the actual bank records. That's where the real accounting is. You can put anything on an accounting. Anything.
Yeah. And now
totally corrupt.
What I have in my case, though, is that this is solid criminal evidence that she's blowing off. And this is also obstruction of justice. Now, what I'm planning to do in my case is that I'm going to file a motion to have her disqualified. And from the research that I've done and actually talking to other attorneys, we have the right to have justice in our case. And not to have a judge that is prejudiced on our case. And the judge should be removed. And that is actually all right. But the problem is now, if I file it with Judge Luna, she's just going to blow it off. I am going to file it with Judge Luna, and I'm going to file it with the supervising probate attorney, Brenda Penny. And I know what you're going to say. Well, she's just as corrupt. But the situation is I filed my declaration in the Britney Spears case. I also filed a complaint to her directly. She hasn't answered either one of those, which is her responsibility. I think it's because she knows that she's getting all of this. She has the media monitoring the Britney Spears case. So I'm assuming she might, if I file this motion to disqualify Luna, she might grant it, or she'll do nothing. And then I'm going to look at ways to try to bring this out in the media, et cetera, et cetera. I have filed a complaint with the Commission on Judicial Performance against Luna. From my research, I see that they have the authority to remove a judge from a case.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what they're going to do, if anything. I have filed many complaints with them in the past. They've done nothing.
Yeah. It's because they're all, in my opinion, my humble opinion, it's because they're all in the same office. They work together. They're a team. They're not going to do anything to hurt another team member. You know my point of view on it and how to handle it, because I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of it. It's like it's nowhere near like comical. It's just absolutely disgusting and an absolute miscarriage of justice. And you know, and the reason why I bring up the word comical is, because, you know, when I go to these hearings with Michelle's son, attorney, is just sitting there laughing. He doesn't know why I have pictures of him doing it, but he has pictures of him just sitting there laughing. Because I know there are ex parte hearings. I know that money exchanged hands. I know it did. And I this is my opinion. I reserve the right to my own opinion. And the reason why I say that is to not, you know, put anyone else in any, you know, weird situation or dangers or anything like that, is because in Michelle Nichols' case, I actually have evidence that would have come out in the evidentiary hearing that they've already misused Michelle's money by trying to bribe someone. Straight up evidence. So when I see an attorney sit there and laugh, the reason why he's laughing, because he knows that I'll never get justice for Michelle because money exchanged hands.
Did Michelle have a will and a trust?
She had different things. She had a power of attorney, and she had it seemed like she had a will, but I don't think that it wasn't as tight as it needed to be. And I think that's what, you know, that's a huge thing for a lot of people. I always talk to people, you know, ask, having a trust is so super important. You know, a lot of families do that just so they don't have to end up going to probate, and so that they're protected from all the hells of people chasing after their money needlessly when they want their money or their home or whatever to go to certain people. So, you know, having that power of attorney and having a trust and having really someone that you can trust that you do not feel like is in a position where they'll ever be like, oh, I got to get their money before they die, so I'm just going to throw them into this rest home real quick so that I have money now. You know, it's a deep thing. You should really have Dr. BJ Hawkins on your show maybe one day, because she's really good, and she can educate your audience in regards to everything you need to protect yourself so that we don't go through this. Because, you know, I'm 51, you know, and some of us are middle age or more, and, you know, we need to make sure that we're protected and our parents are protected so you don't have to go through this trauma.
Yes, bring her on. I'd like to talk to her.
Yeah.
It is good to have a will, at least a will. Mm-hmm. It's good to have a trust, because if you die without a will, then it goes through intestate succession in California. And basically the probate court decides who's going to get your estate. That's what happened to Prince. He didn't have a will.
Yeah.
So, but it gets more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I know from my own living experience in the probate court, my parents had wills, not just one will, because they had wills, several wills, because they updated the original wills. They had trusts. They updated the original trusts.
Yeah, yeah.
But that does not mean anything if the family comes into probate court fighting.
Yep.
And you get a dirty judge. Because
yeah,
the judges that I've had, now I've been through what? 1, 2, 3, 4. I think Luna's the fifth judge I've had. All of them ignore probate laws.
Yep.
They just step right over that.
Yes, they do. And I've had more than one judge with Michelle as well. And, you know, they unfortunately not doing what's right. But I've also had some lawyers, too, that weren't doing what was right either. And so, like I said, it's a tough situation, and I just hope the people listening know, you know, you're not alone. You're not alone. It's really important right now for people to realize you're not alone. There's literally so many of us out here who have the exact same story and the exact same pain, and we have, you know, people will say to us, oh, you know, either you're crazy for fighting for the person's rights, human and civil rights, and or, you know, you're crazy for you know, continuing to care for the person. Oh, they're too old. And then you see all these terrible things and you tell people that you know that it's happening and people don't believe you. Just know that you have a whole tribe of people who believe you and who know what you're going, because we've all gone through it. And never in our lifetime would we believe we go through this. Because I don't know, Ernest, did you think you'd go through this with your loved one?
No. It was like, and the kicker, I mean, it's really a nightmare for me because I'm a family therapist.
Yeah.
You know, people can get, you can get PhDs in psychology. You can, that would include concentration in family therapy. I mean, you get graduate degrees in family therapy. And I see this go down. It's like, it's the biggest nightmare for me. And then over the years now, I'm trying to set up support groups and try to have protections for people that are going through this same thing I've been going through for so long. And it's really been difficult. And it's just really aggravating to me that people are asking for help. They're begging for help, looking for help. And I don't have much to do at this point, much that I can do. Now, we can go through psychological therapy or group therapy to try to cope with it, especially to cope with the loss, you know, because you're going through bereavement, too, after your loved ones pass away through this abusive situation. But that's something that's going to scar you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so glad to see Rosengart. I hope he sticks to his guns, because that's what a lawyer, that's what a good lawyer would have to do, literally come into court with the FBI agent and or district attorney or police officers to get these judges to fly straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he sticks to his guns. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing this show now, because I hope he turns out the whole Stanley Moss courthouse. I'd like to make that an example that will resonate through the whole country. As well. In fact, this is going to be, I believe the Britney Spears case is going to be a landmark case, especially as they go through the hearings and the trials now coming up from the investigations as to how much was stolen. And once people get the whole picture of what's going on in that court and the corrupt judges involved, this is going to be a landmark case.
Yeah. Well, I think it already is one, and we'll see how it goes. But I think you and I have discussed, it's now time. I know you've brought the group together, and you know, we can move forward further. You know what I mean? I know it must be frustrating, because I know a lot of people who've gone through this, and so do I. And it's sad. It breaks your heart. It's why I fight. It's why I wake up in the morning. Like, the first thing I do is start, you know, calling people who I know are going through this and trying to help however, which way I can, because it's just heartbreaking. And there's some of us who can't we can't live like that. We can't live knowing that other people are hurting. So I think it's great what you're doing in the group that you've pulled together, and we'll continue to do more, right?
Oh yeah, I will try. As long as I'm alive, I can't.
I know.
Again, this has left a mark on me, on my life, that's going to last for the rest of my life. I don't know how many more years I have left, but it's something that I will never forget about.
I can relate with you absolutely, and I know all of your listeners can relate to you big time. I know they can. It's the same thing. We all go through the same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of victims out there.
Yeah, and the people who, you know, and our loved ones who are stuck in rest homes, or, you know, like Nichelle, she's not in a rest home. She's in some small rented place in a state that she never wanted to live in. You know, even the climate of New Mexico is completely different from, you know, Southern California. She lived on a state that she worked very, very hard for. You know, some people think, oh, well, you're an actress and it's, oh, it must be easy and so wonderful. No, no, no. I can tell you from being a producer and actress myself, it's like, it's a lot of work. You got to get up. You usually up super early. Your, you know, hair and makeup is, you got to be ready for all that. And you have to be ready for your character and work, you know, 20-hour days sometimes until you get everything you need to get in. And for someone in the 60s to have been able to pull off the role that she was able to, you know, and with Martin Luther King coming to her and saying, you know, please don't quit, when she wanted to quit and go on Broadway, you know, that was pretty profound. So everything she worked for, you know, she bought her home in the early 80s. She was very happy, very proud. She planted every tree, every bush, every rose bush and flower. And, you know, all of these years later, her son comes in, you know, obviously hates the place so badly, and he cuts it all down, and these beautiful trees have grown, you know, 60 feet into the sky, and it was the only place she wanted to live and die in. And it's not a story that's any different from any of ours, you know. So now her home is gone, and there's a lot to be said about a home and an oasis. You know, now she's in some little place, no roses, probably. I haven't been there, but no roses and, you know, no big garden, no memories of her hard work to get that, and it's all gone. And now someone else is spending her money. But, you know, she suffered it that with her ex-talent manager as well. So sometimes you just get hurt. It's not right. I think I segued a bit, and you might have other people calling you in, so I don't want to take all the time.
Do you know what city she went to in New Mexico?
That's the only thing that I never say, because I have to protect her as a celebrity, because some people might be like, oh, let's go find her, da, 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 you know, and actually help. But, you know, there's always, you know, having a stalker myself. Right now, some people might, you know, go, and I have to make sure that I'm appropriate.
So it's confidential.
Yeah, it is. It is. Unless someone, you know, on the Sun side mentions it, but I just have to be, you know, protective and confidential with her. Yeah. But it's a good old boy town.
Is her son the sole conservator there in New Mexico?
Yeah, he's the sole conservator. And, you know, I really believed that they would have done what she asked. I was asked to withdraw from the case, and I told her sister, absolutely, I would love to withdraw from the case as long as you make sure that she stays in her home, lives and dies there, is able to visit her fans, and able to work. And if you can do that, and give her all of her human and civil rights, then I'll do it. And then she said, oh, yes, I would. And I was like, well, I need that in writing. You know, but that's not what happened.
So that was her only son, only child?
Yeah, she only had one shot.
What about relatives, aunts, uncles?
Boy,
anybody else?
My dog do something dangerous. She has aunts and uncles and stuff like that. See, Lola's about to jump crazy again. Sorry, it's my dog. She has other, you know, relatives, but, you know, on the GoFundMe page, the sister tries to make it like they were so close, and the family was not close. It's smoke and mirrors. So they add up a whole bunch of pictures of, you know, them at events. Well, okay, so you have pictures of them at events, but when I went over to Nichelle's house, my husband and I go to Nichelle's house on Christmas, and she's sitting alone, no family, no friends, no nothing. What the hell is that about? You're so close. Why aren't you there with the matriarch of your family? So my husband and I started celebrating Christmas with her, brought her, you know, a fake Christmas tree, and it was all lit up, and, you know, it was a nice fake Christmas tree. And we'd celebrate and open up presents and celebrate it every year until she had an assistant who came and she stole the Christmas tree, so we had to go get another Christmas tree. She had things stolen from her before her son even came in. And I always say, as a consumer, I own my experience because I saw it. I saw what was going on. And it was pretty, really terrible. And I even told the family didn't do anything. You know, and so it's just pretty sad. Just pretty sad. And I just hope for her every day that she's okay and, you know, that she'll be strong enough to make it through this. And, you know, in the end, if I could just get her a little bit of freedom, a little bit of, you know, her rights, then that's enough for me, even if it's just a little bit. But I'm shooting really for the lot. You know, I want her to get what she asked for. She wasn't even allowed to go to court. You know that's wrong. You know it's wrong.
She wasn't allowed to testify in court at all?
No. No,
which
the Judge Barbara Johnson, who was before Anna Maria Luna, asked her to come to court, and then the day she was supposed to come to court, she had no prior conventions planned, and all of a sudden the son said she had a prior convention, and she was, you know, shooed out of town, and she didn't come to court, and my lawyer was like, well, where's Nichelle? And the son said, oh, she didn't want to come to court. Well, then an abuse video, you know, almost a year later, you know, she's reading everything. She said, I didn't have a chance to go to court about it. I don't want this conservatorship. We need to do something about this. You got to help me. She's saying this to her ex-talent manager. She says, we got to end this. I can't have him doing this. He can't be my conservator. The judge never even listened to that. That's her straight up saying it on tape. That's how bad this one is. And I haven't even shared all the audio I have. You know, I waited for the court to listen to it, but since they don't want to listen to it, I'm just going to drop it like it's hot. I'll let everyone else listen to it. You know, and then I go to appellate court and do the best that I can, you know, and manifest a judge that's honest, because there are some honest people out there. But in the Stanley Moss Courthouse, their company culture as judges is severely lacking. And when I say severely lacking, I'm angry about it because people have died through that court. They've died through that court. And that is hell, and that's wrong. And I swear, I made a video about this the other day because I'm like, you know, here's Judge Anna Maria Luna. If she thinks that this is not going to happen to her when she gets older, she thinks this karma is not going to hit her. Oh, yes, it is. You know, she'll be sitting there, you know, and karma will just hit her, and then she'll end up in a conservatorship. She thinks she won't. A lot of people think they're untouchables, but they're not. Not when it comes to conservatorship, and not when you've done what Anna Maria Luna has done. And, you know, I've noticed that she was not a real judge. She never faced a real election. So what is that about? So does that mean that I can just go become a judge? If I don't face an election, I can just go in there and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I have, there's a blog article I posted up there where I went back and looked at how these judges were elected. Some of them get elected with just one vote, don't have any vote. They just put their name on the ballot. So technically, I could put my name on the ballot for judge if I get one vote. I'm going to look into that. It might be a requirement that you have to be a lawyer first. But
I'm saying.
There needs to be more transparency on how these judges are elected or appointed. Some of them are appointed by politicians. Others, like the referees, and are appointed by other judges.
Yes, and I really get annoyed that there's only a judge making the decision. They could have at least six people as a jury, but they don't have anyone. So basically, you give one judge all of the power over extreme amounts of money. It's a lot of money that comes in and out of L.A., and a lot of people aren't always prepared for death and passing. And then next thing you know, everything that they had is taken from them, usually prematurely before they're deceased. So they don't get to live out their life the way they wanted to. And if they had given their money to anyone, you know, they wouldn't get it because the court would. You know, Nichelle says, I'm like a daughter to her, right? I don't want anything. I don't get anything, not interested in anything, right? You know, but it's like, you know, I know to not treat her like that. Her son, no. You know, you don't go after people's money. You don't do that stuff. And is it really necessary? You know, wait till she passes away. And then everything was meant for her son anyway. He could have waited.
That's one of the things. From what I understand, in conservatorship cases, you can get a jury trial, if I understand that correctly. But in probate litigation cases like mine, you can't get a jury trial. And a dirty judge gets to decide everything.
That's the right reason why we got to handle the stuff the way we need to, you know.
Yeah.
We have to. We have to, for the sake that we don't want any more judges to get away with this and do this to other people. We just can't. We can't have it. We have to stand up for one another. And I want to say, I never thought I'd be doing this at this age, and I never knew that it was ever this bad until I got there. And, God, I've been floored. There's been so much heartache. So much heartache. So much heartache.
Yeah.
And Michelle's not my blood, just like, you know, like your mom is your mom and other people, it's their blood. So it makes it even worse. And Michelle's definitely, you know, treated me like a daughter. And she was only second to my own mother. And again, it just shouldn't be treated. People should not be treated this way. And I'm going to make sure they're not for while I'm here, for the amount of time I got. You know, so.
And it's totally illegal, and it's a waste of our tax dollars. But I only got about 51 seconds left here. I'm going to have to sign off.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. I'm glad I got you on the show, got you on the record. I hope to talk to you again someday.
Oh, we will. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for being you and taking care of people as far as you have, you know.
You're welcome. Gotta go.
All right. Take care. Night-night. Bye.
Bye. And that's it for today. I've had, looks like this was a pretty good show. To the other people that are listening, the chat is still working. You can chat. That's another way to communicate to me during the show. And that's the end of the show. Got to sign off. Thank you. can now hear my podcast, read my blog posts, and see my videos on my new website that I am building at tjcla.com. I am also on Facebook at facebook.com/Ernest.more.3538.